Well, let me tell you something, brother. It's the holiday season, and for this special, we watch Santa with Muscles starring Hulk Hogan. So what you gonna do when Hulkamania, the B-movie maniacs, and Christmas run wild on you? Tonight on
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Welcome, welcome. It's the holiday season. I'm Jason Hulls on behalf of B-Movie Mania. We're all here. We're all around the fire. This is great. I'm glad we could all be here together. With me, as always, I have Paul Brooks.
Ho, ho, holy shit.
Crazy Chris Hudson.
Ho, 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 no.
And at least four people's favorite B-movie maniac, Mike Hayes.
Hey, guys, I bet you there's going to be three more favorites because Uncle Mikey made some eggnog.
Ooh.
Here you go, Chris. That's for you.
Oh, no.
Jay, there you go.
Oh, nice.
And Paul,
thank
this
you.
One's extra special. This one's extra
Mike,
special
thank
for you,
you,
Paul.
Mike, the last time you did this, much. I woke up really sore with no memory of my night.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of fun that night.
So
I mean,
heard.
Chris, to be honest, to be fair, that's most nights, is it not?
Well, you know, I'm trying to come up with some excuse.
It's not working.
Was a different part of you than normal sore, or?
It was everywhere. All of
okay,
me.
Okay, all right.
Almost as sore as this movie made me.
Let's take a drink here, guys. Can we enjoy a drink here?
Yeah, let's
eggnog?
Do it.
Let's try this.
Yes, please.
Cheers.
Very good.
That's tasty.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I'm drunk. I don't know what I'll do.
You do not have my tolerance, okay?
So,
fair enough.
Guys, I'm happy that my pick won.
Yes,
our little poll among our significant others.
I'm happy as well.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Me and Mike can just not get anything going. I thought we had two pretty good picks, and the ladies did not give a shit at all.
Betrayal. Betrayal.
Oh, they were all good. I mean, really, they were all good picks.
Even my kids picked my pick.
Yeah.
I don't know why I lost.
You told them, right?
Yeah, you
No, no. I did not tell anyone ahead of time which pick was mine.
Are you telling me your kids, your, I think, at least one's a teenager now, right? Is that how old you are?
Almost. Yeah.
A tween? You're telling me they didn't want the shittily animated film starring SpongeBob SquarePants?
No, my kids can they can tell quality when they see it, and they just knew.
All right, wait. Are you trying to say that Santa with Muscles isn't quality?
Well, I mean, I'd never seen it before, so
no one has.
Yeah. I don't think I had either.
No, it's
I had not.
Was released in on 98 screens on November 10th, 1996. So my senior year of high school.
That was my senior year in Army.
You know what?
Yeah,
what happened with that is it came out with those, in what you said, November 10th, right?
Yeah.
Because just a week or two later, Jingle All the Way came out, and then everyone just thought, oh, fuck, well, why waste money on Santa with Muscles? We got Jingle All the Way. We got Sinbad.
Was that really the same year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there was actually some, like, you know, this movie was pretty panned, you know, but they said something to the effect of, like, it makes Jingle All the Way look good.
To be fair, I think there an argument could be made that Santa with Muscles is actually the better of the two holiday classics.
Agreed.
Hmm.
Although there's no Jake Lloyd in Santa with Muscles, so unfortunately.
Okay, so Mike, I hear that you have something special prepared for us at the end of the show. You want to talk about it?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if I want to talk about it. I think it might be a nice little surprise, though. I think it's a nice, let's call it my Christmas gift to you, my fellow maniacs, but also the rest of the maniacs out there in the world.
Hmm.
I just want to spread a little holiday cheer.
I really hope it's what I think it is.
Is it safe to say it's going to get us in a festive mood?
It's very festive, and no, Hudson, it is not any pink slime.
Well, that was actually good. My second thought.
We'll pop it off at the end of the episode. And I'll give you guys a little Christmas gift.
Awesome.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I want to get to that. So why don't we unwrap a little present early now and get into some quick takes?
Quick takes.
I thought we were going to do the surprise now. Show's over. We'll end it early.
You got to have dinner before you get your dessert, Chris.
Fine.
But
quick takes.
Chris, if just to make things go as quickly as possible, I'll let you do the first quick take.
First quick take? Great cast.
I don't disagree. Mike.
When I finished watching this movie, and let me tell you, I finished watching the movie. I had to then queue up Ernest Saves Christmas to make sure my favorite Christmas movie hadn't been overthrown.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. High praise. Paul.
I live in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of car chases out here, so I'm glad that I learned that if I ever get myself into a car chase, all I gotta do is just dump some salad dressing on the road, and I'm good to go.
That's it.
That's all you gotta do.
Works every time. My quick take is nearly a perfect Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Wow. All right. We'll see about that.
Hey, Paul, I just also want to add another tip for you out in L.A. is that you can also easily get away from the cops if you try to murder them while they chase you.
Oh, okay. I'll give that a shot.
That seems to work pretty well, too.
Some of that takes place very early in the movie, but let's rewind just a little bit. Chris, do you remember how the movie kicks off? The very first thing?
Yeah. I think the little girl says a little prayer to Santa Claus about
That's not a prayer. She's writing a letter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh, yeah. You know, I even have a note here that says this little girl is very literate.
She is very literate. She's writing a letter to Santa.
Dear Santa, how are you? I'm not doing so well. There's this really, really bad man named Ebner Frost who lives up on the hill. He's got these weird people working for him, and I think they're going to do something really bad this Christmas.
She's an orphan, and, you know, they have a lot of... Orphanages, especially in California, are known for their literacy programs. I think we all know that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is that so?
And this one's going to shut down. She's writing a letter. She wants Santa to save them. The basis of the movie. They spell it out for you right there.
They tell you everything you need to know in that first bit right after they cue the horrifying Christmas music at the beginning.
Okay, one thing about the music I really liked, every time Hogan is just kicking ass, it's playing like Deck the Halls.
It's what I wanted to say. I've never heard Deck the Halls used as a fight theme before,
yeah,
but
it's awesome.
It worked pretty well.
A lot of it is sort of that generic, though, sort of Hallmark sounding Christmas music. There's not much to it.
All of it is, Paul. All of it is that, because if you watch the credits, not a single fucking song is credited. It's all royalty free.
Oh, it's so great.
Every single song.
Which is strange, too, because Jordan Belfort was one of the executive producers, the Wolf of Wall Street guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you'd think he could spring for some, like, actual music.
Well, he can now.
Not now, but in 1996.
Hey, guys, this eggnog, I thought maybe it might pair nicely with some North Pole Nutty Bars. I got some here if anyone would
like
one.
Oh, yeah, toss
me
a pack.
I'll take one, buddy.
Little
sure.
Debbie.
Okay, yeah. We'll bust them out here.
I like to roast mine over that open flame we've got in the fire.
Hell yeah. Here you go. Mm, here you go.
Nice.
Mike.
Oh, thank you.
Now, these are not vegan. I apologize in advance.
Ah, jeez.
Sorry.
So, Mike, why don't you walk us through the first time we see... Hogan Claus or Santa Hulk or whatever.
Blake Thorne.
Yeah, Blake Thorne is his character name, though we are going to be calling him, you know, whatever you just said. But no, we come in and he is decked out in commando clothing, camouflage, hiding behind some bushes.
Mike, I know we're going to get into this a little bit later with the bazooka thing, but we're talking desert BDUs.
Oh, please don't tell me we're doing another bazooka thing.
Thank you for talking about that, because I actually have it in my notes here. I wanted to know what you thought of Santa Hulk's military uniform. Was that regulation hanging open with the black tank top?
No, in fact, I have another note here in all my notes. His uniform is not in regulation.
Okay, but so, it doesn't really matter, right?
Guess what, guys? If I could finish my fucking
sentence.
Yeah,
Mike's supposed to be talking.
Sorry, Mike, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are we still on your quick take?
Yeah, we're still doing that. No, he's hiding in these bushes. He's in camouflage. And he comes out and he gets attacked by a guy and another guy and he beats him both
up. Not just
up.
A guy, a chef.
It's true, he was a chef.
And then a chauffeur. And
it was just a real intense fight scene. And then you find out that they're just his live-in servants that he makes attack him a la Pink Panther style.
How'd I do?
Oh, tremendous. You're the best.
Weasels. If you guys are bucking for a Christmas bonus, forget it.
Right. I've got to say, though, that weed eater the gardener attacks him with is the most realistic weapon we see in the entire movie.
That was pretty slick.
Was that a military-grade weed whacker?
That was.
Nice.
Yeah. Something that I would like to mention real quick about this first scene that we see Hulk Hogan in, you may have noticed that he has hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full head.
This is 97.
There's a lot of Hulk Hogan, sort of like mid-90s straight-to-video Hulk Hogan movies on Amazon Prime right now, and I've been watching a lot of them, and for whatever reason, in a lot of these movies, he has the fake hair, and it makes me wonder whether or not that's something that he asked for. Hey, I can have, you know, hair in my movies, or if that was like the studio trying to make him look more appetizing? I don't know because
appetizing, Paul?
His two big hits, the two big movies he was in is Mr. Nanny and Suburban Commando, which both came out before this. Wait. And he is bald as shit in those.
What about the sex tape?
Yeah,
that came out afterwards?
Well, let me tell you, his ass had a lot of hair on it.
Yeah, hairy ass, bald head.
I think he's got a hat or something. You can't
He's probably
like
wearing
a,
his do-rag.
Like the bandana. He's got the bandana.
Yeah.
So you've seen it.
Chris.
The Hulkamania bandana?
Is this just, this should have been part of your quick take, but is, Chris, is this movie better than the sex tape, and why did you watch both of them in the same night, back to back?
Well, it's important to have perspective when you go into these episodes.
Mm-hmm,
so I just wanted to see the evolution of Hulk Hogan's acting ability.
Sure.
Let me tell you, you can tell he's taken some lessons since 1996.
Cool.
Does
okay.
the sex tape follow canon correctly? Do you feel it's true to the canon of...
Does it follow Bazooka correctly?
I do feel like he kept continuity with established mythology.
Good. Good, good, good.
Hey, Chris, does Hulk have a bazooka or an RPG? How would you describe it?
Well, you're gonna have to wait for season two of B-Movie Mania when it's my first pick. So we'll talk about
okay,
it then.
Okay, so after the servants attack him, he turns down, I believe, a request for a nonprofit. He's just a real scummy guy. He really sucks. And instead, he wants to go play paintball with his friends. Paul, I think you alluded to this a little bit ago. Like, what goes on there with the Hulk with his buddies in the car? They're driving around, going to go play paintball. What happens?
Well, they're going to go play paintball, and they are traveling through what looks to be back roads at high velocities. They accidentally run into someone. I don't want to say it. I know Chris wants to say it, so I'm going to let him have it.
Clint Howard?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Get a little more excited about it.
Clint Howard?
There you go.
That was a little too hot. Can we do it one more time?
Clint Howard?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, dispatch. We got men with guns out here on 43. It must be militia or terrorists. Send everything you got. I'm rolling. Come on, baby.
I also want to say at this point of the movie that I thought Hulk Hogan would be the one to try to shut down the orphanage.
You know, I did too at first. I thought he was going to be there'd be something there. I thought he was going to shut it down, get amnesia, and then change his mind. Something like that, but we'll get there.
Like be against himself or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So they run across Clint Howard and...
As himself.
As a police officer?
Yeah, just as himself. He's just chilling in a cop car. And a high-speed chase ensues.
Like, during this high-speed chase, Hulk shoots at cop cars with paintballs.
Yeah.
And just thinks it's hilarious.
Felony right there.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I guess it justifies another cop to shoot back at them with a shotgun.
And, you know, Hulk has a lot of rules through this whole movie.
Yeah, that's
Hulk
important.
Hulk has rules. Santa Claus has rules. And this is where we learn of one of the rules. Rule 21.
Rule number 21. When in doubt, get out. Later.
And he jumps out of the moving car, or Humvee, leaving his friend in the passenger seat, and just takes off.
Yeah, his friend's fine with it.
I also want to say I believe that is the 13th Code of Kang.
Yeah, that is the 13th Code of Kang. I think, okay, it's really important to talk about these rules, actually, because Hogan, you know, Santa Hogan has this set of rules, like over 100 of them,
mm-hmm. God.
That we learn in the very beginning of this movie. And then Santa has the Santa rules. And that there's a parallel between these two, his story arc, that his original self and his new self, they parallel each other. And that's the literal only bit of story structure in this entire fucking movie. Everything else is bonkers.
Also, Star Trek fans might note that his rules also resemble the Ferengi rules of acquisition quite a bit.
Well, the first rule of the Ferengi rules of acquisition is say your prayers.
Eat your vitamins. Yeah, all that. All that good stuff.
It's crazy. The levels.
Quark says it all the time.
The levels that are going on here. Okay, Hulk runs into the mall. And meanwhile, we switch over and there's like elves and Santa hasn't shown up, right? The manager of the mall offers the elves $50 to find Santa. And then, okay, so I'm going to sort of breeze through the next couple points here. Then we cut to some, like, a mad scientist played by Ed Begley. I think his name was Edmund Frost. Was that it?
Ebner,
that's right.
Yeah.
And he's on a TV, a little TV, and he wants to buy some guy's shoe store. He's talking to him through the TV. And Frost's lackeys have this guy hung upside down, and they're like, all the lackeys are these weird caricatures that are really great. There's, I think, an archaeologist, right, who's all in like khaki and stuff.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because Mr. Frost is the main bad guy. He's like the rich guy who wants to buy up land for, we have no idea. In downtown Orlando, he's buying. No, it's not downtown Orlando. It's that small, whatever small town. But it's
this
like
is definitely in Calabasas, let me just say.
Yeah, I thought this was in California.
It takes place in Orlando, though. Or
what?
Outside of Orlando.
How did you get that?
It's a wrestling movie. It always takes place in Florida.
It was definitely in Calabasas, where they also shot Big Money Wrestlers, by the way.
Oh, really?
And Gone with the Wind.
Oh. Three classics.
Okay, anyway, so the main bad guy is this rich guy who wants to buy the land. He has a right-hand man named Dr. Blight, who is his personal physician, who's just a weird, creepy guy. But then Blight has, like, henchmen under him, and it's Mr. Flint, a world-renowned geologist, Mr. Vile, a Canadian chemist, and then Miss Watt, who he just refers to as electrifyingly beautiful. So it just goes down, world-renowned geologist, and then a Canadian chemist, and then electrifyingly beautiful, who gives it? It's a woman, who cares?
I just have to say here that that I have ties to the scientific community, and I'm not surprised that these scientists would moonlight as thugs.
Why you say that?
Because science doesn't pay.
Yeah. Well, they're one step ahead of science, and they're also one step ahead of the law.
Can someone explain these lackeys to me, though? Because, like, Miss Watt or whatever has, like, superpowers. She has, like, electricity shooting out of her hands. And it's never explained.
Yeah, she had the coolest thing going on there. But they're all, like, they're all like video game bad guys or something. Like, the different boss levels or something is the feeling I got. And I really like that.
Some find the scent of methane gas offensive. But I like to think of it as nature's perfume.
How do you sit down and write this and go, we'll have lackeys, one will be an archaeologist, one will be really into farts, one will, like, shoot electricity, well, like, who wrote shit?
Paul, let me tell you something, that the writers for this movie, this is the only thing they have ever written.
Well, and, you know, actually, another thing about the original writer, the script ended up so different, the original writer sued to have his name removed from the film. So somewhere out there, there's a very different version of this script.
I am starting a Kickstarter to find out what the fuck that script
was. There were three. Mike, I bet there were three electric women.
I bet you there were no fart people in it originally.
This movie gets insane, but we'll get there. So Hulk creeps through the mall, right? He's running from the police, and he decides that he's going to evade the police by hanging on a trash chute. And Clint Howard is following him with his partner and has such a great line here. he says they're looking around and they don't find him, even though they can see his, they could see his fingers hanging in the trash chute, like literally like 3 feet behind them.
It's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious, but who cares? And Clint Howard says, I'm not going to let this guy get away with Santa fraud.
Like, it's really good.
It's such a good line.
Like, I didn't catch that.
One of many home run jokes in this movie.
Oh, home run. Yeah.
And never mind all that attempted murder that just happened. Santa fraud. That's what we're after now.
And about this time, the cops take off, and a janitor several floors up throws a big Santa lawn ornament down the chute, and it hits Hulk, and he falls down the chute. Gets amnesia. He doesn't know who.
I've got a bit of a problem with this because the last time I was hanging down a multi-level mall garbage chute and I was hit by a lawn ornament, I did not get amnesia.
Are you sure about that?
But it has happened.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm saying it doesn't happen, Paul. You don't get amnesia.
Chris, are you sure?
Do
you only know yourself as Chris because of the mirror that we hold up to you and what we tell you? You don't know. You could be an evil millionaire.
You bring up a valid argument.
Okay. That's all I was going for. So, who wants to talk about the lead elf who ends up being Santa Hulk's sidekick? Mike?
I will go for it.
Paul, go.
His name is Lemmy. Wait, Lemmy or Lenny? Lenny?
That was Lenny.
With an N.
Lenny, okay.
Yeah.
And he is portrayed by, what's his name? Is it Don Stark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who some of you may recognize. It took me a sec. I was like watching the movie. I'm like, I know this guy from something. But he was one of the main characters on that 70s show.
Yes.
Interesting.
And is the first main character from that 70s show introduced in this movie.
Yes. And he sort of plays like this sleazy sort of how you doing New Jersey scumbag criminal who is... for whatever reason, working part-time as an elf. I guess, you know, you got to get by. And I wasn't clear on this. He's sitting down at the end of the garbage chute, I guess just sort of randomly.
Well, yeah. All the elves were supposed to be looking for Santa. So
why is he looking for Santa in a garbage chute?
Well, where else do you find Santa? Come on, Paul.
In a garbage chute.
I mean, it worked out for
him. We also learn... very early on that he has a debt to someone.
I didn't even catch it through. This is the first I'm hearing about this debt.
No, but he's on the phone with one of the lackey guys. You see him on the phone with, what's his name, Mike?
Blight, Dr. Blight.
Yeah.
No problem. It's no problem. I just ran into a streak of bad luck, that's all. I'll have the money for you today, I promise.
While Blake is passed out...
Who?
Blake, Santa, what are you calling him?
Santa Hulk.
Santa Hulk, sorry.
Clausomania.
Yeah. While he's passed out, Lenny kind of goes up to him and steals his wallet, essentially, and starts flipping through it. I have in my notes that he finds a Blockbuster video card in his wallet.
Awesome. I didn't notice that.
But also finds several credit cards, which makes him just giddy with delight.
Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas! I'm rich! And Mr. Frost won't pulverize me!
Because he knows, he recognizes who Blake is, right? Like, he recognizes
Right. He's sort of like a recognizable figure. I guess the real world comparison would be like,
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Then... he pretty much just tries to convince him he's Santa, right? Like, he tells him...
he tells him twice that he's Santa Claus and Hulk believes him.
And so he leads him to talk to all the kids.
Did we mention, Jay, I don't want to cut you off here, but did we mention that while Santa Hulk was running through the mall, he puts on this Santa costume in order to, you know, go into disguise mode, essentially?
Oh, yeah, we forgot that, yeah.
Right.
Disguised himself.
Correct.
Because that's pretty important to Lenny eventually being able to convince him that he is Santa, because he's already wearing the Santa costume.
When he gets hit and has amnesia.
Also, that Santa fraud comment doesn't make any sense if Hogan's not already dressed as Santa.
Correct. Yes, so he is already dressed as Hulk at that point.
Yeah, put it together, audience. Don't be a bunch of idiots.
And can I just say, he looks like shit. It's such a shitty looking Santa.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't had Mila Kunis fix his costume
yet. He looks a little rough, but Mila fixes it up later.
Who?
Yeah, you'll see.
Kunis.
He's led out to talk to all the kids. He's very out of sorts. And about that time, some punks try to steal a giant globe of money from an orphanage.
But it's only filled with like $50 though.
Yeah, it's not very much, but it's filled with money, and this little girl sees these guys stealing because the woman behind the stand is asleep and they just walk off with all this money, and she screams,
"You be good. Santa will be right back."
Okay.
Someone's been very naughty.
The rich asshole who got amnesia and put on a Santa Claus outfit suddenly has this like moral compass that he has to follow. He's become a Superman of sorts.
Just out of nowhere.
Well, no, I mean, not from out of nowhere. I mean, concussions are well known to make people want to help others.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to bring up, let's not get dark. Anyway, just look up the history of wrestling. Okay, move on.
So the crowd cheers when he just beats the crap out of them.
Two, Deck the Halls.
So good.
It's great music here.
Hulk decides he wants to go to the mission, which, or whatever the orphanage's name is, like he wants to go there to see the place, and he doesn't know where his sleigh is, so he has to ride Lenny's scooter.
Pretty good visual.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's pretty great. And so far, up to this point, the movie has kind of made sense. I just want to bring that up right now.
Yes.
No, thanks. Now, granted, it's been a little loose with why they're writing and why certain things happen, but it's all been the punks were stealing the orphanage's money, so Santa thinks about the orphanage. He wants to go help that, blah, blah, blah. A is connected to B is connected to C.
Mike, I'll agree with you only because at this point of the movie, I thought that Ed Begley Jr. just wanted the orphanage to build a parking lot over it, or under it.
No, see, that's one of the great things about Santa with Muscles is it gets progressively crazier.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because we're eventually going to start talking. Things are about to get bonkers.
Right, and so he does get the shoe store. So he points out in the next scene that the last thing, under duress, that he points out the last thing he needs is the orphanage.
Now our plans are almost complete. I still have one last headache, the orphanage. Round up the troops and see if we can convince our little friends to adopt a new attitude.
Adopt. That's a good one, sir.
And then we have the lackeys in the ice cream truck.
God damn it, I wanted to say that. Fucking.
Okay,
that's
Mike, go ahead and say
Mike,
it.
Mike, let's rewind. Mike, say it.
Mike, go ahead.
Guys, you know what else we don't know?
What?
Why the lackeys are driving in an ice cream truck?
And the best thing about it, we will never know.
Nope, that's never explained. No spoily, but you don't know.
And I don't care.
Do you think any of them, do you think it's because it's the Canadian chemist, because it's cold? I don't know. Like, none of it makes sense. None of the lackeys have any sort of themed ice cream.
Okay, so this is where the lackeys show up at the orphanage to threaten the people there. And who wants it? Who wants this scene? It's where Hulk pulls up for the first time, and what happens?
Garrett Morris.
I knew you wanted to say it.
I did want to say it.
Be a little more excited about it, though.
Garrett Morris!
There we go.
That was a little hot. Can we get one more?
Garrett Morris!
Of Saturday Night Live fame.
Oh, and The Stuff.
Or Two Broke Girls later on.
Oh, yeah, that too. I know him from The Stuff.
Walk us through this whole thing here.
So the scientists come up and say they need the orphanage for a parking lot or whatever. We don't know at this point. And they pull the statue down, and Garrett Morris is angry, and he runs in front of the ice cream truck, and they're, like, speeding along, and they're going to slam into the former Saturday Night Live star. But Santa with Muscles saves the day.
How does he do that?
He grabs onto the tow line.
He grabs onto the rope.
The rope that they pulled the statue down with.
Yes, he grabs the chain and just stops the truck.
Dead. Stops it dead.
Inches from the guy.
So becoming Santa, or fake becoming Santa, has given him a moral compass and super fucking strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's Santa with muscles. Come on.
He may have had the strength beforehand, and we just didn't see it on full display yet.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
He was just too rich to display it.
He could have just been Dick with Muscles before.
That was the working title.
I'm looking forward to that prequel.
Merry Christmas, Santa!
You You know, I'm just going to open this other beer now. Thanks, Mike.
That's probably
good. Oh, yeah.
Yo, this eggnog is awesome.
Hell yeah.
What is? What did you put in this?
Oh, wow. Look what we have here. It's the B-Movie Maniacs.
Santa? Is that really you, Santa?
Yes, children. It's me, Santa Claus. And guess what I have for all of you today?
Oh, boy. Presents?
That's right, little Paul. I have one present for each of you, and inside these boxes is something very special.
Is it a fire truck? No?
How would I fit a fire truck in this? It's like the size of a box of Pop-Tarts.
I think he means a toy fire truck.
Yes, I know, still way too small. Anyway, inside these boxes are numbers. Very special numbers, children.
Wait, are they the numbers that will determine who goes in which order for season 2 of B-Movie Mania?
That's right, little Chris.
Wow, I've been waiting to find out about this for a long time.
Well then, little Paul, why don't you open the first box?
Okay, I will! I'm going last again?
Ooh.
This sucks.
Ouch.
I did not see that coming.
No, hold on, wrong,
oh, wait,
wrong
oh,
spot.
Wrong place, oops, wrong spot. Oh. Santa's reacting awesomely to you going
oh,
last.
Oh, boy.
Very nice. Okay, Michael, your box is next.
Ooh, goody.
Ooh, you're first.
Oh.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
God damn it.
Shit.
All right, Michael. That's enough out of you, or you're going on my naughty list next year.
Sorry, Santa.
Here you go, Crazy Chris. Wait, with a name like that, are you on my naughty list?
No, Santa. I promise. I've been real good. No, real good.
Okay, then. Open it up.
Oh, you're third again.
What the fuck? Fuck. Third again?
Oh, my. Merry Christmas, boys.
Wait, Santa, don't I get a present?
I mean, everyone else has their number, so it's pretty obvious what your number is.
Yeah, I know, but I'd still like to open mine.
Oh, fine. Here you go.
Oh, yay! I'm second.
Wow, big surprise. Okay, boys, back to the North Pole for Santa. Christmas is almost here.
Thank you, Santa.
Thank you, Santa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Santy.
Ho, 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 ho. Have a merry Christmas and a great season, too. Ho, 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 ho. Ho,
yay!
Ho, ho.
Yay! Here, I bet you on a long trip.
Thank you,
Elizabeth, I wrote you the letter.
You have to cut Elizabeth some slack. She still believes in that stuff. She also believes in the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny.
So, okay, we do meet the, quote, the leftover orphans. There are three of them.
There are three left.
And one of them would go on to star in that 70s show, which we've already said her name.
Her name is also Lenny.
It's not, but
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis, thank you.
And she was there. Fugly as a child.
It's her first movie. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Paul, she's like 13.
Holy shit.
I know, but I'm looking at her. I'm like, this fugly girl looks like Mila Kunis. Like a fugly Mila Kunis.
Do we have to keep saying it?
I'm sorry. Paul, cut that part out.
And that's a guarantee that he won't.
At cup drinks on Twitter. Just at cup drinks.
I mean, it's fine because she's obviously doing totally good now.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying she had to grow into her eyes a little bit. They're like bugging out of her skull. And it's weird, too, because this came out in 96. And when did That 70s Show? She was like 16 when she started that. So this is only a couple years before.
Dude, Mila Kunis is not going to... She's going to cancel her subscription to the show now.
Hey, guys. Jerk Chicken Night.
Okay, everybody. Let's set the table and watch. It's Jerk Chicken Night. Yay! Yeah, everybody,
let's watch. That's what Garrett Morris is serving for dinner.
And they invite Santa Hulk and Lenny to have dinner and stay the night.
Because why would you not invite complete strangers into your home?
Yeah, it was baffling to me and everyone else who watched the movie because, well, the dinner made sense. But then they were like, hey, you need a place to stay? They just assumed he was homeless for some reason.
Well, did you see that costume?
Yeah, it looked like a Santa Claus from the mall. He looked fine.
I also like how Lenny is just rolling with all this. He's like, fuck it, I'll spend the night at this orphanage. I don't care.
Yeah.
He was probably sleeping in Santa's village.
I believe it's the next morning when they're eating breakfast. He conceals a cereal box that from Hulk's company with Hulk on the front of it, right? He like crumples it up and hides it so that nobody knows his identity.
Right, because again, he's a recognizable figure, and if the kids figure out that he's not Santa Claus, because look at him, he looks exactly like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
It might ruin his plan a little bit.
Yeah, Hulkster That's Claus true. Has an entire line of health food we've learned at the beginning of the movie. I don't know if you mentioned this.
Rules and health food?
Rules and health food. He's got this whole, he's like, yeah, he's like a dickhole health nut or something like that.
I also have a note about this scene. The newspaper had the titular line.
God damn it, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You can't say everything, Mike.
I know. I was hoping no one would say it, so I could say it.
You want to say it?
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, you guys know, you want to know what else we didn't know?
What?
What, that the newspaper had the titular
God
line?
Damn it!
Sorry. Which I don't think has ever happened in a movie before. I don't know.
You know, another the thing I wanted to say was that Mila Kunis is responsible for the Santa with Muscles outfit.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
She is the one who cuts the sleeves off and sews it up for him.
But she didn't want to alter Lenny's Easter Bunny costume that he had to sleep in.
Yes. And no. But did we mention, I'm sure people have connected the dots at this point, but did we mention that Don Stark and Mila Kunis, both in this film, of course, would also go on to star together in That 70s Show.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Do you think that they ever looked at each other on the set of That 70s Show and just went, so, Santa with Muscles, huh?
No, I bet they kept it quiet. They didn't talk about it to anyone. It's like, we will not talk about this.
Well,
we will not speak of it.
I did see an interview. I saw like a piece of an interview with Mila Kunis because they asked her about it a few years ago. And she said she was too young to really understand the gravity or whatever you want to call it of working with Hulk Hogan. She just thought he was like a big muscular dude. She didn't like realize he was like
she didn't know who
star.
He was really.
Yeah, she didn't really know who he
I
was.
Mean, I
that's interesting.
I still don't really know who Hulk Hogan is, so you know.
Well, you've
fair.
Seen the most of him, Chris, because you've seen his sex tape several hundred times.
Oh shit, that's right. I forgot about the earlier part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Hulk Hogan.
You know Hulk Hogan better than the rest of us.
Do you guys think, speaking of Mila Kunis and the way she gave it more of a continental look to Santa's outfit, when
more of an intercontinental look, I would say.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to go against the fashion designer. She referred to it as continental.
Well, Paul,
so.
We all know that Hulk Hogan was not the intercontinental champion.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know why I said that because he never was. Sorry, Mike.
Terrible joke, Paul.
She said she learned how to do that from the Mega Man comic book issue 93. Now here's the thing.
That's true.
Please
the
tell
Mega
me you
Man
found that
comics.
Comic.
Oh, I Mega Man comics didn't start until 2010, and there's only 55 issues. So here's the question: when they eventually get to issue 93, do you think they'll tie it in?
Oh, man, we got to get on Twitter, and whoever's writing that thing, we got to let them know.
We got to make this happen.
To do it.
Wait, so are you telling me, Mike, are you telling me that Mila Kunis is a time traveler?
I'm not saying she's not.
Well, okay.
Wow.
There is more evidence in this movie that she might be, but I want to wait till we get there. So let's just leave it at the, there's a theory among us.
What?
That Mila Kunis
is a
time
traveler. Something?
Yeah, I am in the dark.
I'll get you. I'll bring it up when it comes up.
All right.
Lenny has the idea that he sees Hulk in slow motion drinking milk and gets the idea to get his thumbprint for the ATM.
Oh, the talking ATM.
Yes.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that his previous attempt to extract cash from his ATM card was not successful because it required Santa Hulk's thumbprint. This is a ATM in 1996, ladies and gentlemen, and it for some reason requires a thumbprint scan.
Yes, and this plan goes awry, which I think is kind of funny. When Lenny goes to the ATM, the machine tells him he got the wrong thumb.
Yeah.
Not a thing. That's never been a thing.
I'm sorry. That is your right thumb. Please place your left thumb on the scanner.
Cut over to the orphanage. Hulk doesn't really want to leave the place. He likes it. And he talks to the little girl who wrote the letter in the beginning in the church. Both of them don't remember their
song.
Parents, and they sing Angel Baby together.
Has anyone ever actually heard this song before? Is that a real song?
Guys, I spent fucking half an hour rewinding that thing trying to find that fucking song on the internet.
What do you mean? You were using your phone to like try to pick up what the song was or something?
No, I was just Googling every set of lyrics I could find and every iteration and listening to fucking YouTube video clips about it and doing everything I could. It was fucking blowing my mind. My roommate literally came out and goes, are you rewinding? What are you doing? Like, I gotta figure this out.
So then it was, so there was at least a little bit of original music in this movie, right?
I guess so, but would you call it music?
No. I would call it torture.
God. And we're gonna play it for you right now.
Ugh.
I'll always remember the time I spent with you. November, December, April, May, and June. You are my angel baby.
It's ridiculous. This is where shit starts to really get fun.
Yes.
Wait, I went to the bathroom for this part. What happened?
The windows are magic. When she sang like the proper note, and all the windows glimmered and glistened because of fairies, supposedly.
Yeah, but that proper note was really out of tune and very cacophonous.
Well, she was 8. What $4 word did you just say? Yeah, but it's amazing. Like, they use a really bad special effect on it, and it's fucking just what is the writer doing for this?
Well, it gets so much better too. It just keeps going.
Oh, I know. Like, it gets at some point, it stops. Events stop happening for a reason, and they just start happening because why the fuck not? Like the whole thumb thing. There's no reason for him to go to that ATM and then have a thumb. And it's just there for fucking yep. Why not?
And here we a little bit later, everybody's hanging out, and the goons. Throw the head of the statue that they pulled over earlier. They throw it through a window, and Santa Hulk goes out to confront them. And he has another great line where he looks at the orphanage people and goes, "Keep the milk and cookies warm." I always love that. It's such a weird one-liner.
Which is interesting because that happens just after Clayton, you know, the old man.
Garrett Morris.
Yep, him. Leans over to Hogan and says, "I'm proud of you, son. You finally made something of yourself." Which, to the audience at that point, we're like, oh, fuck, he knows that Hogan's Blake. He knows he's the rich guy.
Right.
Right, that's what we're meant to believe.
There's more to that knowing statement.
Yeah. So many levels.
But that moment surprised me. I'll give credit where credit is due. I'm like, wait, what? Okay.
I think that's the last sense of sanity in this film. It's like a dying gasp. It's
out the window.
So, Paul, Mila realizes that one of the kids named Taylor is gone because she sees a Walkman laying in the yard. You want to talk about what happens next?
Uh,
Were you back from the bathroom by this point?
Probably. I'm not sure what happens right here, so I'll just say maybe Brutus, Asian Brutus Beefcake shows up. I don't know.
No.
Jesus, I think it's how later. Long did I think you go
45 minutes later.
Oh, okay, shit. I don't know.
That's okay. So they go to Frost's house, and they find this kid about to shoot a rock through his house with a slingshot. And that's Hulk lays down a lesson. He lays out another rule.
I was only trying to be like you, protecting all of us.
I did what I had to in self-defense, Taylor. I'm only tough when I have to be.
Is that a Santa rule?
It's my rule.
That reminds me, guys, is there a rule for piping smoke into your mansion?
Yes, he does. Frost House, like all around it, there's just smoke being piped up into the yard.
It's just everywhere. And oh,
Chris,
why
would you pipe around smoke?
Why would you pipe around smoke?
It just looks cool. I think anytime you try to do that, it should be left in the film.
It did look pretty
like,
cool.
What if like Hulk was in a shot with somebody and there was like a smoke machine right down by his feet and it made it look like his feet were on fire? Would you be still cool? Okay.
You'd be like, wait, what's happening here? Is his feet on fire? I don't know. It'd be a lot of drama and suspense.
That explains Ed Begley's mansion because those smoke emitters are everywhere.
It did look cool, and you guys know what else looks really fucking cool?
What?
If you have a bunch of scientists at your house, and you make them all carry around T-squares for some reason.
They were all armed with T-squares.
You know the tool you use for science.
This is where I kind of started to stop second-guessing the movie and just let it carry me.
You have to let it give you the ride of your... Let Santa Mania run wild on you.
Wait, were you guys actually a little confused about the smoke machines outside?
Well, that's because of the decontamination, is that right?
Yeah, it was like a giant disinfectant spray, basically.
Yeah. We didn't really brush
that.
Yeah,
that whole thing was a little unclear. But
Edley Bagelface is he's a germaphobe.
Yeah, his character is a big time germaphobe. Yeah. Where's like a well, we won't get into that, but he. I was about to jump ahead again. I want to talk about Asian Brutus Beefcake.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
You gotta wait.
We will get there.
Because shit's about to get even more bonkers than Asian Brutus Beefcake.
It is. And the main takeaway from the scene is that Santa Hulk sees that Frost has a plan to like take over the entire area of the orphanage. Because shortly after that, Mike, I know you're probably just itching to talk about this. Talk about the vault.
You mean the clubhouse?
Hold on. Let's not jump. So this is where my notes in all caps say, this is where shit goes batshit crazy. Because they're sitting, all the orphanage, the three leftover kids, and then everyone else is sitting around the breakfast table again. So they're trying to figure out what's going on. And the map was apparently an underground map. Hulk of Claws noticed that. And so he's like, what's under the orphanage? And they're like, I don't know, rats, sewers, I don't know. And one of the kids goes,
the clubhouse.
Clubhouse?
Oh, the old catacombs underneath the church. Yeah, the kids use it as a clubhouse.
The clubhouse?
Yeah.
So nonchalant.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, well, there's catacombs under there. The kids use it as a clubhouse. Like, what?
Yeah, no, So,
they're like, oh, there's catacombs. Oh, and that big vault that we can't get into, but I don't know.
Yeah, just complete insanity. Just, all right, we got a clubhouse under the building. All right, but is that in the basement? No, that's the catacombs. What are you talking about, catacombs? Oh, you know, where the big vault door is.
Now, to anyone like that doesn't really believe us when we say catacombs, we're talking like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade style catacombs. Yeah. Like bodies buried there, full on Roman burial, whatever.
I like how the kids have like a couple chairs set up down there, you know, a table. They're just chilling, playing dice or whatever.
They have a lantern, not a flashlight, like a lantern that you have to light.
Hey, Maniacs, Paul Brooks here. If you're looking for the perfect gift for that special B-movie maniac in your life, or just something really cool for yourself, we have got you covered. Just in time for Christmas, we have brand new t-shirts for sale. They're printed on really great quality material. There's lots of colors to choose from. And we got styles for men and women. Head over to bmoviemania.com. Click on the t-shirt ad in the top right corner and check them out. happy holidays, and Merry Christmas from all of us here at B Movie Mania.
There's this gigantic, like, vault door, like, bank safe door, and there's initials scratched in it. And
BT.
BT is on there, and the kids say, well, we've somehow figured out 3 out of the 4 numbers to the combination. How do they even know that there's 4?
No clue.
So Blake knows it, though, right? Like, Santa Claus.
He knew the last number.
He knew the last number.
He keeps sort of, it's the classic amnesia thing where you sort of keep getting these little pieces of your memory back slowly at a time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
The thing is, him knowing that number makes no sense because because when they open the door, he's fucking surprised.
He is totally surprised.
If he knows the number for the vault, he should know what's in this fucking vault.
Yes, let's get into this. What's in this vault?
I'll let someone else say it.
Well, the way Lieutenant Savick tells Timmy to put down that crystal, I think it's filled with dildos.
No.
Hey guys, I know what these are. These are piezoelectric crystals. I read about them in my geology book. They're quartz crystals with natural electricity in them. Vibrations make them put out power. It must be worth millions.
Yeah, so it's not fairies. It's electric crystals.
Don't they explode or something?
Yes, they do explode.
God.
And this is where I'm going to get back to the Mila Kunis is a time traveler theory, because she consistently has the most scientific knowledge out of the entire crew when it comes to dealing with these crystals. She knows that they're worth millions. She knows about how they build up energy. How would she know that unless she was a time traveler?
Well, isn't she just supposed to be a smart kid? I mean, why would a time traveler? Why would that be her purpose?
If you guys, well, I think it's because she's traveled to the future and read Mega Man issue 94.
Boom. Boom.
God damn it.
Where she fucking learns about piezoelectric crystals and how they keep an electrical charge, and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, but do piezoelectric crystals really explode?
No, but also, here's something when I was researching piezoelectric crystals, turns out a similar substance that is also a natural natural battery, effectively, are bones. So my theory is maybe this is just part of the catacombs where they just, you know, the bones were keeping the electricity.
That makes no sense.
Well, did anything else in this movie make sense?
I, for one, believe that Mila is a time traveler in this movie.
I agree with you.
Chris, I just want to say that I'm pretty impressed that somebody other than me realized that Savick was in this movie.
Yeah, I like the whole movie, like seeing her name in the credits. Well, I can't remember her name offhand, but it sounded so familiar.
Robin Curtis.
Yeah, Robin Curtis. Like, I know that name from somewhere. Where do I know that? And I finally looked it up on IMDb tonight. Like, oh yeah, Star Trek 2 and 3.
Star Trek 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Oh yeah, well, that's right, because Kirstie Alley played the
was
role
Savick
in Star Trek
in
2.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But good on you for even doing
that's
the
right,
research
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
Continue.
outside the vault, Hulk asks a bunch more questions about how he's not Santa, and Lenny kind of tells him some of the truth, but not all of the truth.
Look, I don't have all the answers, but those kids, they need Santa Claus right now. Just be Santa. We'll figure out the rest later, all right?
Then we get a pretty intense fight here.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is my favorite part. No, wait.
Okay, well, if it's your favorite
part,
Chris,
where Hogan, well, Santa with muscles, chases him through the through the building. They end up in, like, a clock tower of some sort, yeah, or a bell tower. I don't know what it is. And there's, for some reason, there are giant candy canes scattered around and a big animatronic Santa just moving and waving. Moving and waving.
Yeah. Yep.
And
Wait. Before I know where you're going with this, and I'm going to let you get there, but I just want to say one thing right before the big event that you're about to talk about. I love it when Santa Hulk corners Dr. Blight and he goes, ho, 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 as if he were saying, I've got you now. Love that.
And the only reason this doctor guy even survives this fight in this, you know, orphanage bell tower is because Santa with Muscles is standing just a little too close to that animatronic Santa.
That'll get you every time.
As it turns, waving hello, it somehow grabs on to Santa's waist and pushes him out the window.
Like, what does that thing weigh? Like 6.2 pounds? Come on.
That
Hulk
is...
Hogan, a 300-pound man, is just going to get sort of like gently jostled out of a building.
Well, it was obviously a cinematic allusion to Vertigo, the classic Alfred Hitchcock film.
Where
the animatronic Easter Bunny almost knocks Jim Stewart out the thing.
I think it's an homage to bullshit.
After that, Hulk, he's in the garbage truck, but he wakes up at his home, at Blake Thorne's house, and he has all of his memories.
Major issue with this. Major issue.
It's a classic movie trope.
No, yeah, I understand that it's a classic trope, but how does falling into a bunch of fluffy garbage bags bang your head so hard that you get your memory back?
I'll tell you.
He landed so nicely.
Because he looks over, and the first thing he sees in the garbage truck is his own product container when he passes, and then passes out.
We all know that two concussions make a right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Just ask the NFL.
Let's not get dark. It's also a cinematic allusion to the classic film Men at Work.
No?
Okay.
Just no.
But he's still a good person. Like, he doesn't revert to the bad persona. And he calls the orphanage, and the call is intercepted by the lackeys, because they were, I guess, waiting for the call or something, and they impersonate Leslie Savick, or whatever you want to call her. And
yes, I want to call her Savick.
Savick, and they tell him to never come back. So he's really upset. Everybody's upset. The kids are upset. Even Lenny's upset because he's trying to help out.
I was upset.
Chris was upset. Mike was upset. I was upset.
It's a low point. It's a low point of the film.
Yeah, right. It is a low point. Yeah. Now, here's something I really liked about this movie, okay? This is when the bad guys storm the
the orphanage.
Orphanage, right? And the electric hands lady blows the doors off of the front of the orphanage. And, dude, they explode. Explode off the hinges.
And I don't think I need to explain why that's a bad idea when your orphanage is built on top of a bomb.
Right, correct. But I just really enjoyed that visual of those doors completely just being annihilated.
There was a lot of door punishment in this.
Well, I think a lot of that was Asian Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, hell yeah.
He does it. Hogan does it later. I think this part here, Jay, is really they're kicking it off with the light show. And then every door they come into after that gets knocked off its hinges. I think maybe literally there's no more doors in the movie.
No, there's definitely more doors in the movie because, Chris, I think you know what I'm going to say here.
Well, they knock them all off, but the doors all get hurt. Every door we see after that gets ripped apart.
Doors get hurt, but at some point, is it Lenny who gets kind of stuck behind a door and they do the callback from Monster Mash where he keeps getting smashed with the door? Yeah. Three times it happens.
It's the geologist, Dr. Flint. Dr. Flint does that. Because Dr. Flint opens up the door with his jackhammer, which is apparently his special power, of the vault.
Right.
He takes it off the hinges and he's stuck behind it. Then everyone runs into him and fucks with him.
At this point, everybody's at the orphanage. So it's
a showdown.
It's a showdown. It's all about to happen. And Paul, okay, I know you wanted to get to this.
Yes.
This is where we see who, Paul?
That would be a very offensively dressed Brutus Beefcake wearing a, like, Kung Fu Fu Manchu mustache and making offensive... noises.
There was no reason for him to be an Asian character.
At this point in time, Brutus Beefcake, Ed Leslie, and Hulk Hogan were really good friends, like best friends. And I really think, but I think this is where kind of cracks started to form in the friendship, and they hate each other now. And I think it really started because Brutus Beefcake was forced to dress as an Asian stereotype and not Santa with muscles.
The other crack, Chris, may have come from, I think it's right around the same time, was Hog Wild 96 in Sturgis, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, definitely.
Brutus joined the NWO, but then Hulk and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall all turned on him, and I think that was probably a big,
so
big deal
Brutus
for him as
Beefcake
well.
So Brutus Beefcake kicks Lenny out the back door, and Santa Hulk...
hey!
Wait, pull us back on topic, Jay.
Santa Hulk and his entire staff, they're all going to go on the mission to save the kids in the orphanage.
Yeah.
Somebody...
I just think that it was smart to kick him out because he wasn't on the same level as Nash and Hall and Hogan.
So then
you want
to
get the big
cut
stars
to abruptly,
in the NWO.
Clint Howard, Chris, say Clint Howard.
Clint Howard
is practicing pulling people over when he sees Hulk's Hummer roll by, and the cops another chase happens.
More unexpected guests. We'll just have to handle it Blake's way, Pierre. The first course, please. Let him try some of Blake's Way salad oil. No cholesterol, only 3 calories per serving. And it goes down smooth.
This is where they decide to dump Hulk's signature salad dressing on the road, and the cars like spin out as the salad dressing hits the pavement.
All right, we're going to need to spend about 5 minutes on this.
Okay, oh, yeah, also the protein powder, right?
Salad dressing and protein powder.
2 bottles.
And the salad dressing is just all over the road.
It's
two
small bottles.
But it's like
size.
Someone dumped a swimming pool of salad dressing all over the road.
Yes, it's great. And the whole gang here, they turn the corner and there's more cops, right? And one of the cops pulls out a bazooka. Right?
No!
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He pulls out a bazooka.
God damn it.
They're sitting there. The Hulk is sitting there in his car, and they're surrounded. And that's when we learn Rule 20.
Blake's Rule 20, sir, is never surrender.
Never surrender. And Hulk gasses it.
Yeah.
So the cop actually shoots the bazooka and
not
hits
a bazooka. Not
Clint
a bazooka.
Howard's car.
Clint Howard
and I believe,
barely gets away.
Yes, he does. And I believe his line is,
which one of you turkeys is responsible for this?
Yeah. He said the word turkey a bunch.
Speaking of Blake's rules, is there a Rule 34 for this movie?
Dear God.
Is there some Clint Howard Rule 34 out there somewhere?
Oh,
there
I'm going to look that up right now. Let's see.
No, do not do that.
Okay.
We will not provide a link to that down below.
We all know that there's some Blake Thorne Rule 34.
Okay, so they get to the orphanage.
Yes, thank you, Mike. They're behind the orphanage. Go.
Yeah, they're in the orphanage, and then Hulkster and his like entourage of servants, you know, break down the door. They like punch one guy in the face or whatever. This is the last point we ever see his crew. They're gone from the movie.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They're not in the rest of this fight scene, which is a bunch of fighting.
So no, yeah, they're fighting. They all end up in the church, right?
Yeah.
And then we have Beefcake versus Hogan, which was the biggest letdown of the movie for me.
So disappointing.
So disappointing. I agree.
I'd be pissed if I was Beefcake, too. I'd be like, fuck you, Hogan.
Yeah, actually, I mean, seriously.
I think the whole fight is a lot like this comment, and that it will be edited out for time.
Now it won't, though. That's
now
the
it
problem.
Won't be. Now you've assured that it's in.
Damn it.
Okay, so Lenny pours water on the Electro Girl, and she fries.
Dies.
She fucking straight dies. There's electrical, like, arcs coming out of her eyes. It's straight out of a fucking horror film. It is insane.
But speaking of door violence, there's a little bit more here. Hulk kicks down one of the doors, and Savick and Clayton are sitting there, and Clayton has another great line.
Well, all you had to do was knock.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to kick down the door. And this is a big reveal right here, because they're going to go charge out the bad guy's ass again. And Clayton slows it down for a minute. Who wants it?
He tells the Hulkster that the Hulkster, he's like, don't you remember? You used to live here in this orphanage. And he like points at a photo. He's like, that's you up there.
And Frost.
You grew up here. Look.
Is that me?
There's more. You see the boy sitting right next to you? He was your best friend, Ebner Frost.
How do you... Yeah, well, yeah, but how do you... A, do you not fucking know you went to that... You lived in a goddamn orphanage?
Right. Even when he got his memories back, he didn't
Yeah,
know.
His memory's back. He's
like, wait a minute, I've been staying at the orphanage I grew up in.
Yeah. Let's just say that these concussions weren't Hulk's first.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, concussions, it's not an exact science. It's
habitual
not an exact
habitual amnesia.
Yeah, it's just, this is another point where the writer just went, fuck it, let's just do this, because then I'm going to reveal that also the second kid in that picture is the main bad guy too. Why not?
They were friends.
But they were best friends. Best friends.
Yeah, well, that's what we should have known at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, so I don't know. I did not see that coming.
Leslie and the kids knock Dr. Blight into the freezer, and that's pretty much the end of him. Then we all go down into the catacombs. The crystal, they're all in the crystal chamber, and they fight. They basically just have a fight with what are the just big
no,
metal?
No, it's not just a fight.
Yeah, no, don't even pretend it's just a fight.
It is a goddamn lightsaber fight
with explosive crystals.
Whoever wrote this said, "God, I wish I could somehow get a lightsaber fight in here," and they just made it work.
They just did it. Paul, I literally wrote this down. They break off long crystals and have a lightsaber fight. This is the magic of cinema at work. You could do anything.
Yeah, yeah. My notes say, holy shit, a lightsaber fight.
So good.
I mean, if this were at all realistic, they would have blown off all their hands the first time those crystals, they crossed swords. But nope.
That's true.
That's where the movie really lost me.
That right there.
Just right there.
So, and let me just say again, Mila points out, because Mila and the kids are down there, she points out that the whole place is going to explode from an energy buildup. So she's, again, pointing out scientific information, and that gets everybody to run and leave the orphanage.
You know, at this point, really, the whole catacombs are underneath, like, the entire neighborhood. Shouldn't they leave the neighborhood?
Probably.
Oh, I assume a lot of people died.
Yeah, they had to have. This was a massacre.
But no one died. The only people that may have died are Hulk's staff, because since we don't ever see them.
Yeah, they
again.
Just disappeared.
So outside, the orphanage collapses in giant, brilliant flashes of light. Chris, can you say Clint Howard?
Clint Howard?
Clint Howard rolls up in a shell of his car.
It looks awesome.
Then a bunch of other cops. It looks amazing. Awesome.
This is the only point in the movie where I genuinely laughed, is Clint Howard, for whatever reason, has his windshield wipers on, and they're just going back and forth wiping nothing at all.
That's awesome. Pretty good. I wouldn't say that's the only time I laughed. But
that's
yes,
the
that
only
was
time
good.
I genuinely laughed.
You didn't laugh at when he was practicing doing his pullover speech?
I think I was in the bathroom.
You need to learn how to use the pause button.
Okay.
So, the whole gang is taken away. We're almost to the end here. The people have nowhere to go, right? And Hulk's like, I got an idea. I thought he was going to invite them all, like, to his mansion.
Right, me too.
So they end up taking over Frost's house. And now there's tons of kids, so I guess they...
Wait, did we just ignore how the orphanage imploded?
No, we talked about it. Where
we
were
just
you?
Talked about
did you go
that.
To the bathroom?
Oh my
were
God.
You in the bathroom?
I was in the I need to learn to pause
Paul,
button.
Cut that part out.
Yes, there are tons of kids. They look through a little telescope, and they can see the gang, the bad guys, cleaning up the wreckage of the old
community
place.
Service.
As prisoners. They're wearing, like, prison jumpsuits.
Yes, like old-timey prison jumpsuits. And the little girl says she believes in Hulk-a-Claws, and I think he ends the movie by saying ho, ho, ho.
Wow! A Christmas miracle! I do believe in you. Blake.
Ho, ho, ho! Okay. Hey, can I say, though, that there is one... I have one big question about the end of this movie.
Okay.
So, right. So Garrett Moore, everyone moves into, you know, the mansion with, you know, Santa with muscles. And Garrett Morris is left, though. I mean, he looks like he moves in, but he's mowing the lawn. So does that mean at some point later this week, when the rest of Santa with muscles crew attacks him for training... Does Garrett Morris attack Hulk Hogan? And what does he attack him with?
He could. He might.
The mower.
The mower.
He tries to run him over.
Oh, God.
He drives it up into his bedroom.
Makes total sense.
How much later is this shindig, by the way? Because they apparently have found like 50 more orphaned children to house.
Not just that, but the Frost's gang was tried and convicted. Apparently, justice in the Santa with Muscles verse is swift.
I have one theory that I would like to bring up real quick, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
Mike, you made a brilliant point earlier when you said that there's evidence that Mila Kunis is a time traveler because of that Mega Man number, what was it, like 92 or whatever?
93.
Okay. What's interesting is that at the time the script was written, they didn't know that Mega Man was eventually going to turn into a comic.
That's true.
So does that mean that the writers, the actual writers, are from the future?
Maybe.
Is it the writer that ended up suing the movie? Is he from the future and he just took all the money that he got into the future somehow?
What if that's why it's so crazy? What if he, like, put in all this cool future stuff that was reality to him, and then they, like, the studio was like, this is fucking crazy, and they tried as much as they could to rein it in to something believable.
The future is going to be filled with women with electric hands.
Yep.
Oh, I hope so. I can only
You don't need
hope
batteries
so.
Anymore.
I think that brings us around to rating time.
Rating time!
Guys, I'm thinking we should rate this in Hulk-a-claws.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hulk-a-clauses?
Hulk-a-clauses. So, who should I start with? I'm going to start with Chris. How many Hulk-a-claws do you give this movie?
You know, I have to say that I don't think I enjoyed this movie as much as the rest of you. Because I was holding it to a higher standard than it really deserved. So, I thought it was okay. There were a few parts that I really enjoyed. The cast was pretty great. I'm going to go with 60 Hulk-a-clauses.
Okay. I have a feeling I know where Paul's going with this, so let's get the Grinches out of the way early. Paul?
You don't know me.
True.
Watching the movie, I agree with Chris to an extent. It was so unfunny. There's so many things in this movie that are just trying to be really funny, and I'm just like, ugh, I'm dying right now. But by the end of the movie, it's one of these things where it's so jam-packed and it just gets so over the top and ridiculous that it kind of won me over more by the end of it. So I'm going to be a little bit more generous, and I will say, I'll say 65 Hulk-a-clauses is.
Very nice. Mike, what do you got?
You guys know I like to let loose and just pull off the shackles of reality from time to time, at least from a writing standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I really do enjoy something where it's hard to find the logic of why it happened, and just living with.
Are you talking about the plot or the actual why this movie was made?
No, the reason the movie was made makes a lot of sense. Hulk was a hero, so obviously they wanted to make, you know, why not put a Christmas movie with him in there? You know, Sinbad's got one coming out. You got to do something. So, just the writing and the directing choices. And everything was just, to me, just so wonderful.
God.
I'm going to say 80.
80, wow. Okay. Very nice. For me, I think I'm more with Mike on this. It's just so nuts. The whole thing, the whole idea of it and how it comes together is so over the top and so nuts that I had a very good time with it. Pretty much the entire way through. Like, it just almost every... I think Mike and I were chatting about this a little bit while I was watching it, and he'd already seen it. Just about every moment of the movie, you're like, why is this happening? What is going on? And I really can get behind that from time to time. And it's the holiday season. I'm going to go 91. I had a great time with this movie.
Wow.
It got progressively crazier. It's got Clint Howard. Come on. I had a great time with it. Merry Christmas. Gentlemen, I had a good time with this. I had a good time recording this. I'm still feeling festive. I hope you guys are too.
I'm a little tipsy off this eggnog.
Yeah, this eggnog really hit me.
Me as well.
Mike, I would like to unwrap, I would like to, in whatever audio fashion we can, I'd like to unwrap your present to us now. What do you have for us?
Oh, sir, I have just a nice Christmas carol for you. And if I may, here I go right now.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to be movie mania. Come and behold, Jay, lover of all peace, sway. Oh, come, let us adore Jay. Oh, come, let us adore Mike. Oh, come, let us adore Paul. Chris loves the Blob.
That was great. Thank you, Mike. That's the perfect song to go with this fire that we have here, this eggnog.
Oh, come,
oh, there's more.
Ye maniacs, praising the low budget. So come ye to be movie mania. Come and behold Paul, he eats vegan pizza. Oh, come, let us adore Jay. Oh, come, let us adore Chris. Oh, come, let us adore Paul. Mike is your favorite. Oh,
well,
come,
I don't know about that.
All ye maniacs. Oh, come, all ye maniacs. Oh, come, all ye
happy holidays, everybody, from B-Movie Mania.
I was really hoping you would sing Angel Baby.
I got way off key there at the end there, Hudson.
Well, folks, that wraps up our holiday special. We hope you had a good time. We hope you enjoyed the movie if you watched it along with us. Don't forget, you can find us on social media. Facebook, find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram. We do all that stuff. We're going to keep drinking eggnog and roasting ourselves by the fire here. So we hope you have a great holiday season. We will be back for season 2 very shortly. And until then, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Which one of you turkeys is responsible for